started. Thank you. Have we any apologies recorded for tonight? Councillor Burgess, Councillor Stoke, Councillor Andrews, Councillor Bailey. I think we got Councillor Carr. Okay, councillors. Well, just before we start the meeting, I would like to formally welcome Councillor Michael Savage on board. You're very welcome, and I'm sure you'll have a very enjoyable time with part of the council, or perhaps not. Yes, suffer, baby, suffer. The only other thing that I really want to say is, again, we've had a fantastic month of council-run festivals and events, which have been absolutely superb. And, you know, the numbers that have attended them all have been brilliant. So I think we really showcased our district to its full potential. The last thing I'm going to say, David Talford, who is, anybody maybe from the Newry or South Armagh might know as well, one of our journalists here, himself and his two lovely daughters are having a charity evening on the 16th of September in the Cricket Club to raise money for Cancer Focus. And it is a gospel choir, and the tickets are £10 each. And I have met David's two daughters, and they are absolutely a delight to him, and it's in memory of their mother. So if any of the councillors would like even to make a donation, I'm sure he'd be very appreciative of that. Okay. Declarations of interest? None. Okay. Item 3 then is the action sheet. Liam, do you want to talk us through?
Yeah, Chairman, just in regards to the first couple of actions are done in terms of, I imagine that Adam Wilkinson has come back to Councillor Fitzpatrick on MHS that speaks to me later on afterwards. I'll pick it up. Again, the nominations for NILGA have been referred to the party website. Some clarification, but I think we're looking to see the representatives on NILGA will be going to that there, and we're looking to see if we include one more onto it. And again, that's for and the fees for that there has been agreed. Department of the Economy, in terms of the Mineral Act, again, Chairman, we've got further correspondence back from them there. I know you're going to pick that up later on in the meeting, and regarding the post office, it's been noted. So, Chairman, unless there's any issues, any analyst wants to raise, there is the Mineral Development Act consultation, which has been extended until the 15th of September. I'm conscious that I know that we forwarded out correspondence we received regarding, not there for members, but again, the council isn't so much consulting in this here. It is the Department for Community, for the Economy. So I think people understand that actually this is the council doing the consultation. It's not. We're really only acting as a conduit for the Department for the Economy on this.
Chair Cormorgan, this has turned into a huge issue for the people of South Armagh. I know myself and some of our colleagues here have been inundated with calls from more aid residents in this regard. It's as big an issue as we've seen in a long time. We'd express huge concern about the nature of the prospecting licence and how the public consultation has been carried out to date. It appears that there's been minimal publicity surrounding the consultation. We've been contacted that there hasn't been enough outreach to the community falling under the catchment area of the prospecting licence, or indeed to the political representatives for the area. So, look, in this context, we would like to place on record our former reservations about the consultation and ask that the subsequent consultation period is opened up to allow the community and their representatives to have a say about the proposed prospecting in an area of outstanding natural beauty.
Sorry, Councillor Murray, would you like Mr. Hanaway to write back on that basis? You know, just
noting
our concerns. Okay. And can I have a seconder for that? Councillor Harty. Okay. And everybody else happy to move on? The next item on the agenda is item 4, which is the copy of the minutes for the meeting held on the 7th of August. We'll take it page by page for accuracy, and then we'll take matters arising. Page 1, 2... Sorry, did somebody say something?
From page 1, I was in attendance at that meeting, and Mark was not there.
Okay.
Apologies, Chair, we'll get that amended.
1, 2, 3, 4... and 5. Can we have a proposer and seconder for the minutes, please? Councillor Hannah and seconder, Councillor Burns. Okay, matters arising? No? Okay. We can move on then to item 5, the minutes from the ERT committee held on the 14th of August. And again, we'll take it page by page for accuracy. Page 1. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Can we have a proposer and seconder for accuracy? Councillor Burns and Councillor Hardy. And matters arising? Councillor Hannah.
Page 5 there on Councillor Burns' item or notice of motion that was referred to the committee on farmers' markets and that type of thing. He's proposed to do a pilot in Newcastle, say, as and one possibly in Down Patrick. Just on that, I've received quite a bit of correspondence on it, so I have. And from, I've also spoken to quite a number of the farmers in the area. And quite a number of the shops. And to be quite honest with you, I think Newcastle possibly isn't the right location for this pilot. But in saying that there, I'm not going to turn anything away from there. Just, there is no tradition. There is no tradition of a farmer's market in Newcastle, so there's not. Never has been. You cannot compare Newcastle to Cumber. Two completely different areas. And as some of the farmers pointed out to me, Newcastle is a completely different type of a farming area, so it is. And what Cumber in that part of the country is, Newcastle really basically is cattle, sheep, some cereals and potatoes. So there is, that's basically what is grew and grown in that area. And their thoughts on it is, they actually laughed at it, so they did, to be quite honest with you, in that they don't believe that any farm produce, fruit and vegetables or anything would be grown in there or sold at a market in Newcastle would not be sourced in the Newcastle area. That is their thoughts on it. It would be purchased from a wholesaler and they believe that the only one who would benefit from that is somebody from outside the area. Another point I would like to make as well, Councillor Brown talked about an artisan's market. I believe there is one established in Newcastle up at the Donner Hotel end of Newcastle, which was the ladies and the people that was involved in that there, they put a considerable effort in to establish that, so they did. And for us to go and undermine that there, I believe, and I've spoke to Marie on this here, that a lot of consultation would need to be done on this here. A lot of consultation would need to be done before anything could be moved forward at all. Just on that, if these markets come to Newcastle, and speaking to the local businesses, at best I would say they look warm. And there's one particular business, possibly in the second or third generation, what he pointed out to me was most of the businesses in Newcastle along the main street are paying huge rates. Council's benefiting from them. Why would the council establish a market that's going to start undermining them, taking money out of the area because they believe that most of these market stallholders will not be locals. They will not be locals at all. They'll be from outside the area, which will come in, and anything that's there will be taken, all the, any wealth or anything generated from it will be all together. Possibly it might establish some sort of thing. It might work, might not, but I'm 30 years in business now, Sam, and to be quite honest with you, I'm not usually wrong when it comes to looking at something in business. I've made mistakes, surely. But I do not see any future in this. And it's, these business people in Newcastle have pointed out to me, they believe it will fade away very quickly. So for me and the ERT department there to actually throw £10,000 at it is quite a considerable amount of money. It is public money. And I would like, Marie, if this does go ahead, to assure me that quite a bit of consultation, possibly workshops, and engagement is done in Newcastle, so that all business concerns are taken into consideration. Just on that as well, them retailers, the council, I know they arranged the Festival of Light and a number of other events. Just one reflection. Them business, the retail business, I'm not talking about restaurants and that type of thing. They say the worst business day of the year is the Festival of Light. They say they may as well stay closed that day. Their takings on them that particular Saturday is maybe down 75%. So I believe the council needs to look at this really thoroughly. Maybe possibly this farmers market or artisans market that Councillor Brown's proposing is maybe not the right way to support businesses in Newcastle. We do need to look carefully at it, and I would ask Marie that be included in it, that all consultations be done, so there's possibly workshops and whatever is necessary to engage with the business community in Newcastle. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Mark, are you on with the same subject, or
no.
Is it a different? It's a different subject. Okay. Do you mind? We have Willie wants to come in on this. Is there anyone else? No one else. And Patrick, and then I'll ask Marie to respond.
Do you want me to switch off here, sir?
Yeah, just for a minute, just so we keep it. Patrick, you're next to speak.
Thank you. just because some businesses are going to object to it, and that's part of the course, doesn't mean everybody should lose out. We want it overall a positive motion, I feel, something that has to be the district, something that the council can be proud of, and something that I would really urge the UP to get on board with and support.
Okay, Councillor Brown. Henry, do you want to come in on the same item? You're in Glenshire.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Madam Chair. Firstly, Madam Chair, whenever I started in this council, I was to the right, then I was centre, and now I'm to the left. I'm just wondering, is Liam trying to tell me I'm a socialist now or something? But
heaven forbid, Henry.
But I have nothing against the principle of farmers' markets, nothing in the slightest. But it has been the case in many areas throughout the Republic and in GB, where councils have got involved and set these up, they invariably fail. They have to be bottom up from the producers themselves, and those are the most successful markets that you'll get. Whenever councils get involved and a council official goes to a farmer and says, I'm here to help, they'll run away from you. And in my experience, and I was a scientific officer and a veterinary inspector in the department, as my good colleague here, Mr. McAteer, knows. I worked in agricultural research and on vegetable production, apples, that type of thing, and it's a very specialised market. There's also the aspect of licensing products and the efficacy of the actual products that people are going to eat. If the council's involved in this, do we have to certify everything that's going to go through it? So if in the chance off chance that somebody did get a medical condition as a result of eating produce through a council smart, that we would be liable. That has come up in other farmers' markets in other parts of the British Isles. Just flagging that up. But the one of the most interesting points about this wee patch of land that we own, or we have in South Down, is if you look at Cumber and McGilligan, the two main vegetable producing areas in Northern Ireland, McGilligan has 270 days of growing per year. Cumber has something like 280. Where I live, at Cranfield, it's 322. It's the longest growing number of days anywhere in Northern Ireland, and matches actually quite well with County Cork and the Sunshine Counties down there in the south of Ireland. So there's opportunities to actually become involved in the production of food, and we should be encouraging our farmers and producers. And that would be a better way to invest money if we could work with a consultant and find out exactly what is, because our farmers over the years have become so dependent on beef, milk, that type of production. As Glenn says, we just don't have those products within the Nurean Mourne council area to sell in Newcastle. If you're going to induce and invite local producers in, those people don't exist here, unfortunately. But there are huge opportunities to get into top fruit production, protected fruit production, that type of thing, through glasshouses and whatever, just because of the area we live in. It's totally unique, and I think that really does need investigated. So I'm not opposed to it, but I think there's a better way of doing it than what the council's proposing. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. I'm just going to let Councillor Clark in, and then I'm going to hand over to Marie for comments and updates.
Thanks, Chair. I suppose a lot of the issues have been dealt with. I think Glenn is coming at it from a very negative perspective. I agree it's important to engage with the traders, and that's why we've given a considerable period of time for that consultation to take place. I think we should be, as a council, we need to be encouraging small business and small producers and people, basically people who get off their ass, and start a business. And this is their opportunity. This is an opportunity to showcase their produce and sell their produce. And whether there's a farmer's market or not, these people are doing it anyway. You look at the cottage industries right throughout our council area, and I can't believe there's people saying that there's no producers. There's hundreds of businesses out there, small businesses, who are producers. Certainly there'll be a criteria associated with farmers' markets, And there'd be a criteria over the distance of people who would be coming to the farmers market as producers. So they wouldn't all have to come to Newcastle. There would be a mileage catchment area for people to come from. I think it's important, you know, to support the main street also, independent shops, independent cafes, and I think farmers' markets can act as a catalyst to do that. If you've got, and I think Patrick outlined, if you increase the footfall, you create a bit of a buzz in the town centre. I think at the committee I talked about, you know, incorporating buskers to the event also to create that sort of family good feel factor in or around the market. And in regards to the Newcastle market, I would work closely along with other Newcastle councillors as well in regards to their market. They're quite keen in regards to getting involved. They see the opportunity there to expand their not-for-profit organisation also. And also the guy who's involved in the Castle Welland Farmers Market and had Michael Donnelly in a number of years and no support from council they had. It was all voluntary. So there's an expertise there also and a number of producers who keep in close contact with him also. So I just believe this is a good opportunity and it's a good news story. And we shouldn't be creating basically fear in regards to our retailers. I think we need a working partnership to bring more people into the area.
Thanks for that, Councillor Clark. Marie, would you like to just come in with some comments?
Yes, Chair. It has been highlighted in the report the project wouldn't be undertaken until 2018-19, which is the next financial year. That will give us the opportunity to do wide consultation as we would consider necessary anyway. The Council have always had a very good working relationship with Newcastle Chamber of Commerce, and it's through the Newcastle Chamber of Commerce that we will liaise. We would not be probably seeking to run the market ourselves. We would be looking for an expression of interest for a third-party provider, and that would be done in the form of a type of public procurement exercise. So all those things will be taken on board and considered when we go to run the project. But we can keep the ERT committee informed as we progress through. I would also highlight that we have to get that included in the 2018-19 rates process as well, just the contribution.
Thank you for that clarity, Marie. Yes, Mark, you want to come in. Are you sure, yeah? Okay, and are there any other matters arising? Laura?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I've got an item which is linked to the Festival of Flights, but it's on page one of the ERT minutes. But it's actually to do with the overflow car park at Donard Park. I want to really thank our officers for their good work to date. The work involved the upgrading of the access from Donard Park into the overflow car park. Now, not only was this beneficial for those attending big events such as Festival of Flight, but it's also been a huge help to the residents living in the neighbouring folds. Prior to this work, the traffic flow from the Donard Park into the overflow really was a nightmare. So again, I want to thank the officers, but ask perhaps that a meeting be convened on site to discuss a few additional extras, which won't cost a lot of money, but would tidy the whole area up. So as it isn't directly a matter for Marie, can I maybe request through you, Liam, if we could request for a meeting on site and perhaps with myself and other Newcastle councillors to attend? I mean, Newcastle is booming, and I know it probably is a victim of its own success, but the town's packed most days of the week, and this overflow car park has nearly now become an essential part of the town. So hopefully, at the meeting, we can suggest a few additional improvements, which wouldn't cost an awful lot of money, but might sort of tidy the whole area up.
Yes, Chairman, I'll arrange that there to Adam Wilkinson in terms of direct on that there.
Thank you. All right, we can move on then to item 6. There's no recommendations, it was just, okay. We have the minutes of the SP and R. SP&R committee meeting held on the 17th of August, and again I'll go through it page by page just for accuracy and then matters arising. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 and 14. Can I have a proposer and seconder for accuracy, please? Propose, second, okay. And we have Councillor Burns, you want to come in for matters arising?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. I suppose, and a part of it sort of comes under accuracy as well, if you go to page 10 on the consultation arrangements of the Health and Social Care Trust. It states even in the minutes that a response to a query from Councillor Byrne, and then Mr. Hannaway had answered the response. And it sort of reads when you're reading through the minutes that I raised a question, a response was given, and it was satisfactory, and we moved on. And that's certainly not the case. And it wasn't a query that was raised, it was a challenge to the process. And I know it's well documented, you know, from the SPNR meeting to the council meeting tonight in the discussions that took place, as we all seen, you know, documented in the media and that. But my challenge that night, and I have to reiterate tonight, was about the process. And there's nothing in the last 2 weeks that has changed my view on how the process was carried out in this consultation, or in this, from the motion was proposed by full council and brought to the party reps forum. Now, what was presented at the SPNR meeting was a paper solely on developing a working group. There was nothing else presented from the motion calling for a committee, only a paper on the working group and the terms of a working group. Now, a number of questions I had raised on the night was how we moved from the notice of motion to a working group. And I made, and I'll make clear again tonight, I am not talking about, you know, the outcome, if we go through the process the way I would like the process going through, that the outcome might not be different. I made that point on numerous occasions, that I'm not saying a working group is not the best way to go. But I am certainly not taking lightly that a committee can be just struck off the agenda as easily as that. Now, the paper that's taken to the party reps, it's my understanding over the last 18 months in council, that party reps is to get an idea and a discussion and tease out, iron out the crisis, whatever, look at different avenues to go down, but certainly not to make a decision. Now, I believe that over the last couple of months, and I've seen it with other items, that the party reps is going over and above. It's actually, you know, abusing its power. We've seen meetings, and on the 3rd of August, we had two reps from the Southern Trust, one from the Southern Trust, and one from the South-Eastern Trust, discussing proposals with the party reps. And it states in the proposals that a working group is to be set up. Now, you've two reps from the Trust being told that a working group is to be set up, and that's the exact words in the minutes, before, a week before the paper is taken to the SPNR committee, even before the paper then is forwarded on to the full council. So my problem with that is, all the discussion is behind closed doors, and my talk of the transparency and openness is with the councillors here. I don't come up to the SPNR committee to sit and nod through something and not debate it. Now, even if we get to the same outcome, we must debate it in the committees. We're being handed proposals that are already agreed, and what shocked me a number of times at the SPNR meeting was, and we even had the chair of SPNR stating that this decision was made beforehand. They did not realise that this decision was made at party reps. There was no decision made at party reps. We are stifling debate. We are not allowing debate here. Now, even if the terms of the working group, we should be thrashing that out in the committee. We should be having them discussions with the officers and then bringing proposals to the full council and then voting on that. We are too many times we're getting stuff sent from party reps and not being able to question it. I got a document that was the paper that was presented to the party reps in June, which was forwarded on after the question at the SPNR committee. And the document concludes, given the guidelines around the appointment of committees, guidance is sought from the party leaders and representative groups on the issues identified, the size of the committee, terms of reference, appointment of independent members, and frequency of meetings. It jumps from that document to the options outside committee arrangements. We have absolutely no documents outlining how we got from that point to the other. Now, I completely understand some of the points that were made. I'll argue against them, and I'd like to argue against them openly in that meeting on SPNR last week. For example, one of the questions I asked, or one of the challenges I put, was the people on the committee, the number of councillors. I know that in a committee we have two-thirds of councillors to one-third of non-councillors on a committee, that some parties will miss out, and we just take that as it is. We're also told that there'll probably be an issue, and if you listen back to the audio of it, there's an issue with non-councillors and how would they sign up to the code of conduct, and it was teased out as if it was a problem. Going through the NI Local Government Act, which is Schedule 3, which states in four lines, the third of the non-councillor members on a committee, straightforward, the four lines of signing up to the code of conduct has been done time and time again. So the answer that I received at SPNR to that simple question was inadequate. It was as if there was going to be a major problem with this. What shocked me even more is on the paper from the party reps in June, that question was discussed and the answer was referred to Schedule 3. So the problem I have here is we are far more open in what's been said in a room with seven councillors. And I understand you can throw out that we've had three meetings and the councillors come back and talk to our party and then go, but that's not the forum of party reps. Certainly not the forum that it would have been set up for. And, you know, taking people in and outside bodies to present to party reps is certainly a breach of what party reps should be doing. So if I ask a simple question on non-councillors and the answer couldn't be given when the media is sitting here and we're in a committee to tease out all these problems, how come 2 months earlier, you know, the answer was referred to in party reps? So the problem that I have here is we are not being open. We're not using the committees in the way they should be. If you have the party reps and you can tease it all out, send the two papers. What I had asked for was the paper to come on the health committee, a paper to come on the working groups, and we would sit and tease out if it's the best way forward. Have all the information sitting in front of us, have a legal opinion sitting in front of us, and it doesn't even have to be a committee. It could be a subcommittee. It could be a working group with different terms. But we've been presented something and we challenged it. It was astonishing at the SPNR meeting that everything we were challenged, it was just, you know, you were looking for an argument. Our job during that committee is to bloody scrutinise the papers. We are jumping past that. We are making the decisions, the proposals at the party reps, referring them to committee, nodding them through, and if you don't nod them through, you're just there for causing trouble, and then ratifying and nodding through at full council. We do away with the committees. We've done it with the blue bins as well. We had an option we asked to be put on the paper, and it wasn't there. Option 4, we talked with the party reps, he has made the decision on party reps. So what I'd like to propose, and certainly on the back of 7 people being at SPNR all the time, we need to all be together on health. We need to ensure that whatever proposals we put forward for whatever forum, and if it is does go as a working group and people are saying, you know, we don't want to talk and shop and we're going towards a working group model, we need to ensure that everybody's on board. I'm certainly not abide by the two forums that are set up at the minute and the engagement from other members on the forums. We have sat in the Daisy Hill Health Forum and the Down Hospital Forum, 2 major consultations from December last year and one a couple of weeks ago. One on the criteria of the Bengal report and one on the restructuring of stroke services. The engagement from members was atrocious on them 2 consultations. We had 3 members in December on the criteria for the Bengal report. And we had effectively 1 party when it came to the consultation response on behalf of the council. Now, I know parties can respond themselves, but we are meant to be here responding as a council body, and we can't even take them consultations seriously. Is that because of the forum that it is? It's not given the respect? Are we setting up another forum that's going to be like a toothless tiger? So what we're doing here, there's a democratic deficit in what we're asking for here. So I would propose that all the information that was brought to party reps and the information that was brought to SPNR of both all the proposals for a committee or a work group, and let's tease out at SPNR, the next meeting at SPNR, and not push through this on a vote of 4-3 on something that's so important. I'm not sitting here, you know, we could call for establishing a committee immediately and stick by the proposal or the motion that was there. Let's be sensible about this. Let's debate it and not debate it in a group where you've got 7 councillors. If we're not fit to debate in the committees, we shouldn't be sitting on them. So I'm proposing that we take it back to the next SPNR committee for proper dialogue, proper investigation of what we can do. Because what the public's asking for here, we need to deliver a forum that does what the public is asking for. And we need to engage in that. We're the voice for the public and we need to be speaking for them, not having the papers and nodding it through. So I'm making that a proposal.
very much, Councillor Burns. Henry, I think it's you that he broke. Well, I think it's Henry once in.
Roisin, I pressed, but it was for a slightly different item on the same agenda, so I can defer if you dig
yes,
in.
Yes, if you just defer for the minute.
Well, that makes me come on. Well,
sorry, hold up.
Do you want to come up and share my one?
Yes, thanks very much, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, anybody that attended the crisis meeting in the Canal Court Hotel back in the springtime, I raised this issue of the committee and I discussed it with Mr. Hannaway, who did give me an assurance at that time, after that meeting, that he was investigating it. Now, that even precedes the notice of motion coming along. There was no big hullabaloo made. I just let the thing go on in the hope that we would get something of this type of format. This is exactly what we need. Exactly what we need. We don't want the formal committee type structure because all it does is exclude people and bungs the whole system up. This reflects what we had rushing back in the old Muir Enn Mourne Council. And we could bring in all the executives, the heads of different departments, and we could discuss everything from Daisy Hill to Slieve Row to community care packages to OT backlogs. Those are the things that people were concerned about. And it wasn't just me as a councillor there. We and the other councillors, all councillors were entitled to go if they had an interest in it. And you would have got maybe 50% of the councillors would have turned up. But the important aspect was that you had union people there, you had community reps there who had demonstrated an interest and knowledge of the health service over the years. And it was a fantastic format, and that is what the council has delivered in this. So I'm more than happy, Madam Chair, to propose it.
Thank you very much, Councillor. And Cadogan, you have indicated that you
know. Yeah, just speaking in support of Councillor Pete Byrne, he's obviously correct. It's clear that the consensus amongst most councillors, and two motions, in fact, have voted for a proactive style of management of the health issue by councillors. It's equally clear that management doesn't trust councillors enough to give them the resources. It doesn't trust councillors enough to give them the staff working to a health committee. It's clear that management is unfamiliar with the work, for instance, of our old health committee here in Down Council, where we had an annual budget of $20,000 a year, where we had Alison Robb as legal officer working for us on a part-time basis, where we had Jerry McBride, who worked for many years in the Ombudsman's office, watching every single step the Trust took, where we had the resources, if necessary, to take the Trust to the court and did fund and support judicial reviews, where we were able to proactively campaign for the basing of ophthalmic or auditory facilities here and other facilities. We even had a sexual clinic, regional sexual clinic based in the Down Hospital, because we went out and we campaigned for it. Now, what management wants us to do is to shut up and not say anything. They think that their community consultation process will work, and if we all hold our caps in our hands and we bow nicely and we ignore the fact that we've passed two motions, management somehow is going to make it all right on the day. Now, we have a lot of experience collectively as councillors, and we know that our council needs to be facilitated in having the appropriate resources supporting proactive campaigning, not reactive campaigning, to the latest cut. Thinking about the future of health in this area. What sort of picture do we want in the long term for Daisy Hill? What is it that we feel that the Downs needs? We know that these two hospitals are quite different. The requirements in each trust is quite different. The population's differences are significantly different. There'll have to be a different emphasis for each. But nevertheless, what is common is the need for a fully funded, resourced committee, as we have had in the past, and the management needs to trust councillors in the fact that they can actually do a job of work as councillors, and we don't need our hands held, and we don't need to be told what to do, and we don't need to overturn council decisions voted for in full council at least two occasions, simply because management feel they know better than us. So I'm supporting what Pete says. Thank you.
So are you seconding Are you going to second the proposal? Okay. So, sorry, Councillor Walker, you wanted to come in. Didn't see your light. Sorry.
Yes, Chair. I've heard the debate so far in relation to it, and I tend to agree with Councillor Riley in relation to setting up a working group. I've heard our councillors here talking, and I cast my mind back to the old Down Council. Yes, we did meet officials from the South Eastern Trust, different things like that. But to be honest, and I keep saying this, I have totally supported health all along. I even get into trouble with my own party ministers, so I did over it. And councillors from the own Down Council know that there, because I stood up to them at the time and I argued against cuts in the Down. But I was embarrassed as a Down District councillor when I went to a full committee meeting and 3, 4, maximum of 5 councillors sitting. It was an embarrassment to bring people like Hugh McCackie into the council chamber to deal with very important health issues. And the people that called for Hugh McCackie to come hadn't even the decency to come to that meeting and put their case to him. And the previous speaker was one of the offenders. He was never there. So he wasn't. Now, we all support health, and we should all be singing from the same hymn sheet. But if this committee's up and running again, how many councillors out of the 41 will attend? How many will attend? It was actually an embarrassment. We need a form of working group that can hold them accountable. We can still hold them accountable. We can bring them to this council. We can challenge them. We can still seek judicial reviews, so we can, whenever we think decisions aren't going right. You don't need a committee and put an extra burden on our overworked officers at the minute, because there's a lot of time and energy we'll have to go into this. Now, I remember the old health committee when it didn't meet half times because there was nothing to discuss. So if you have a working group and something comes up, that can be pulled together very quickly with an email going out to the members of it, and we can deal with the issues. Yes, we all need to sing from the same hymn sheet in relation to health, which I hope we do, but we need to do it properly. We don't need to go out there and embarrass ourselves as a council, because I know what will happen, just like the previous council, albeit Down Council. They'll not turn up. That's the bottom line. They'll not turn up. And the ones that shout the hardest, like in the old council, were the ones that never turned up. And that's fact. So it is. And I remember over a year ago, when the health issue was raised, I actually had the minutes printed out from previous and the attendances from the old Down Council. And I tell you, it was embarrassing. So it was very, very embarrassing.
Thank you for that, Councillor Walker. Councillor Traynor.
Thank you very much, Chair. I suppose this all came about from a motion that was passed in May, and I'll be honest, I hold no emotional attachment to a motion. I want to make sure that as councillors we are making the right choices. And as Peter's rightly said before, it's not so much about whether this is the right choice or not, it's about having the choice to distinguish if this is the right choice or not, and it's for the councillors here to have that choice. Now, I note that Councillor Walker has just talked about attendances. This is debated on Thursday the 17th of September at SPNR, of which Councillor Walker is a member of and of which Councillor Walker left from. So he could have very well made... he could have very well taken the district's views above his own there, and he could have done what was best for the whole district. I, like Pete, I'm not going to just stay here now, let's set up a health committee now. I'm saying very clearly, present the options in front of the committee and then let full council have all of the options in front of them. I know that I had sought legal opinion from the CEO and it came back, and depending on interpretation, it could be taken two ways. I would say it was quite open. With the first 2 points of the legal opinion were very open as to the setup of a committee, whereas the last two were leaning more towards the idea of working groups, and that would be, you know. And let's be honest, at the very start, before I changed, because I amended the motion based on standing orders, the original motion that I put forward was for something very similar. I'm not shy away from that. I had put something very similar in my earlier motion, but the public, not me, just off my own bat, the public, people as in the public came up to me and said, look, we understand what you're doing, but we want something to have a bit more teeth to it. Now, I understand where Councillor Walker's coming from, where attendances may have been poor in the past, but it is down not for us to talk about attendances, it's down for the people to talk about attendances. If we're not attending things, the people will hold us to account over that, and we should give them the option to make that decision. But we need to give them, you know, we need to have the option. The point here tonight, I think, that Pete's making is we didn't have the option. The option was hidden away from the committee. And it's not so much that we're saying we don't want a working group. As Pete has rightly said, if a working group's the right way to go, and if the terms of reference are right, then certainly we'll come behind that. But we need to be able to see all of the options in front of us, to explore all the options in front of us, to have open debate. Like we're having tonight, funny enough. We're having open debate tonight, but the problem is we haven't got all the details. So we're just asking for all the details we've brought back for us to have an open debate. And fair play, if it's a working group that we're going to go for, as long as we have all the details, we'll have all the information in front of us, then I'm sure that's the decision that this council will make. But the important thing here is we need the information. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Councillor Traynor. Councillor Byrne,
I'll make a point.
No, I'm sorry, you're not going to make a point. You've made a proposal.
You have made a proposal.
And I will get to you in a minute, Councillor Byrne. Councillors come in once on an item. That is normally what happens in a council. I know previously people can ping-pong in and out all they want, but this is a very serious issue. You have made your proposal, you have a seconder, and everybody else that indicated had a right to speak. Could I just say, would you please turn your light out? I'm trying to speak. No, Councillor Burns doesn't want.
Sure, could I give Councillor Traynor a point of information?
No, sorry, Billy. We're going to move on.
He made an allegation.
Billy, I know you left that meeting to go to a DEA. We need to keep very focused here, Councillor Walker. This was actually... Sorry, Councillor Cadogan, you also have already spoken. As Chair of the Council, you have both come in with a proposal and a seconder, and we are going to take a vote. The whole purpose of the party representatives is that things are discussed and they're brought back to party members. This was discussed for 3 consecutive months within party representatives, and I know certainly within my own party it was widely discussed from June to August. If that doesn't happen in other parties, well then you have a failure in your party structures which you need to sort yourself.
Sorry, point of order.
The whole point of this meeting was to involve all of the lobbying groups from Downpatrick, Newry, South Armagh, Castlewellan, right across this district. We are the only council that have got a buy-in from the chief executive of both the Southern and the South Eastern Trust and the Ambulance Trust to come and meet us as a council. The agenda was not to be set by individual councillors, but by those lobbying groups where they could come into a working environment and sit down and convey their concerns about their service. Their concerns and the issues raised by those working groups would then become the agenda for the meeting with the representatives from the Trust. Therefore, the community, the service users, the workers within our health service would be the ones that would be having their voice heard. That was the whole point of the working group. Now, we have had a proposal, we have had a seconder. I am putting that to the vote now. I am not taking any further.
I would also ask that the Chair doesn't make political points in the Chair and not talk about whole party
against the Chair. I'm sorry, I'm explaining to you again, Councillor Burns, how the party representatives is supposed to work. That is how it is supposed to work.
So we have a proposer
and we have a seconder, and I am going to open it to the floor for a vote. Okay, so the proposal by Councillor Burns, that was that all information brought to party representatives and all information brought to the SPNR would be brought back to the next SPNR for full debate. This was proposed by Councillor Burns and seconded by Councillor Enright. All those in favour for the amendment? Okay. So, did someone request a recorded vote?
Yeah.
We want a recorded vote. And those in favour of Councillor Burns' amendment, do you want me to read it again? Are we all clear on what we're voting for? I think we are. We can then take a vote on the Councillor Burns' proposals.
Okay. Starting off, Councillor Andrews absent. Councillor Bailey absent. Councillor Brown. Councillor Burgess absent. Councillor Stephen Burns. Councillor Pete Byrne. Councillor Michael Carr absent. Councillor Charlie Casey. Councillor Willie Clark. Councillor Garrett Craig. Councillor Dermot Curran. Councillor Laura Devlin. Councillor Sean Dorn.
Yes.
Councillor Cadogan Enright. Councillor Jenny Fitzpatrick. Councillor Glenn Hanna.
Yes.
Councillor Valerie Hart, absent. Councillor Harry Harvey.
Yes.
Councillor Terry Hardy.
Yes.
Councillor David Highland, absent. Councillor Liz Kimmins.
Yes.
Councillor Mickey Larkin.
Yes.
Councillor Kate Locker.
Yes.
Councillor Jill McCauley. Councillor Declan McAteer. Councillor Simon McMahon. Councillor Andrew McMurray. Councillor Russell McGrew.
Again.
Councillor Mark Mornin. Councillor Paul O'Gribben. Councillor Barrow Murray. Councillor Brian Quinn. Councillor Henry Ray. Councillor Mickey Rowan. Councillor Michael Savage. Councillor Gary Charvin. Councillor Gary Stokes, absent. Councillor David Taylor. He's absent, sorry. Councillor Tinley.
Yes.
Councillor John Traynor. Councillor Billy Walker.
We have the vote, the recorded vote is 19 against the amendment and 14 for.
And then just put the motion to the the recommendations to the committee to the floor, Chairman.
Yeah. So the recommendations of the committee are therefore approved as set out.
We need to take that as agreed. Those for the recommendations of the committee.
Hold on. Can we just have a proposer and seconder then for the recommendations as laid out by the committee and...
All for the recommendations of the committee.
And then we're all for... Well then, I would respect... A vote again?
Yeah.
Can we have a vote then on the recommendations?
From the committee.
A recorded vote? Do you want another recorded vote? Okay, can we have a show of hands for those in favour of the recommendations as set out in front of us?
And against? No abstentions?
No.
Okay.
Well, then I will be would ask that those are actioned as quickly as possible, and that we get all of the working groups and people interested in coming on board to form a strong, cohesive lobbying voice to raise the concerns regarding the health service to start as quickly as possible.
Just Chairman, by the way, the current arrangements as organised, the consultation currently on the health spending within the two areas, so the current arrangements we have with the two working groups will come together and a recommendation comes to the next council meeting on response to the health cuts. So just members aware of that, because we won't have time to implement that before the putting this in. So
okay.
Jacqueline wants to come in on our
Councillor McAteer, you wanted to come in on another item?
Yes, thank you, Chair. It's just on page 8. Again, it was something I brought up. Actually, I was invited to the SDNR meeting, and it was about the Local Development Plan Steering Group. I made a proposal there, which was lost. I couldn't even vote myself, unfortunately, but anyway. But I'm going to make the same proposal again, and I'll just outline to the rest of the members why I made it. It was really about the membership of the Local Development Plan Steering Group, which is actually an extremely important steering group, in that it will be responsible for the very future of planning for this council going forward, as the council and actually subsequent councils as well. My point was that it is deemed with best practice by the professional institution bodies that actually all members of a planning committee should be members of the steering group. Our council have decided that that is not the case, but that there would be a membership, a small membership made up of one person from the planning committee and one from the SPNR committee. My argument was that and I asked the chief planning officer about this, about the what the type of work and the level of work we'd be engaged in. And this actual group will work up on our new planning policies and how we interpret those policies and what new type of policy we'll be creating as a working paper and as working policies for this council. I believe that the experience of people from the planning committee, and there's 12 members of that planning committee who've been dealing with very complicated and controversial, actually, issues over this last couple of years, and I believe that their practical experiences is of utmost importance and should be reflected inside that committee. And, you know, when we're dealing with, you know, I said, you give it examples of rural housing and, you know, rural business provision and the intricacies of how the current legislation is laid down and how we will differ from that and our experience of working through that. And that's the only reason I brought that forward, because I've seen certainly the importance and the potential of that committee to give a good service going forward into the future generations of this council. And unfortunately, it was defeated. Maybe people didn't fully understand the implications of it. But I would still appeal to people, and I would propose that we would have one additional member from each party, so it was quite equality-minded, going onto that steering group. And that's what my proposal is, to add one more member from the planning committee to the steering group going forward. Okay, thank you.
Yep. Yes, Paul.
Thanks, Chair. Councillor Bonney. I'll second Declan's proposal on the LDP plan. And again, it was a paper that was presented. I'm not going to echo the same points that Declan made, but make an additional point. The paper came just before the paper of the last item we were discussing, and it went to a vote. Now, it is amazing that we're looking at, on the last item, we wanted all councillors involved because of how important the piece of work is, and the more involved, the more, you know, people to feed into it. The LDP plan is arguably one of the biggest pieces of work the council's doing over the next couple of years, yet in the same meeting, 10 minutes later, we're advocating less people involved, even though the recommendations is more from the planning committee. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't make one argument for involving more people in an important issue and getting the views of more people, and then going against it in the very next paper by saying, oh no, it's a bad idea to have less people involved. It makes perfect sense that there's more people from the planning committee on it, actually in the notes it does state that the full planning committee ideally should be on it. So how the motion was defeated with the same reasoning that another motion was passed is absolutely amazing, and it just, it, maybe people aren't reading the documents, or as Declan said, fully understand them, but I'll second his proposal.
Chairman, could I maybe seek clarification? Because I think at the meeting you were looking for an additional member from the DUP, so additional member from Sinn Féin, different additional member from SDLP. I think the issue was that the UUP didn't have representation on the two committees, so it was, I think, an additional member from the DUP. But that's. Okay, so you're looking for an additional member from four main parties, then, is it? Okay.
One of those that was there on that particular meeting, and we were the ones who voted for to accept the recommendations. I propose that we do accept them. It's not just a case of putting councillors being onto a committee for the sake of it. We are quite content with the makeup of the committee, quite content with our own membership on it. Do we read our papers? Of course we read our papers. You know, it doesn't seem to be us that is a problem with what the contents of papers are. You just have to think back to the group leaders' forums. And everything that's ever discussed at it doesn't seem to feed back in your party structures. And you just come in here and nobody seems to know what's happening. So if one party has an issue with that, they need to look at that themselves. But sorry, Chair, come back to the votes we put. Did we not do a show of hands, which actually was that report fully accepted?
Well, at the committee itself?
No,
Chairman, really, it was only for the recommendation to have, to get that agreed. So when we agree the recommendations of all the committees, we've done all the amendments, and so it's the recommendation we got in the head, so it didn't include this.
Yeah.
This is a separate item. It's been taken up afterwards.
We have a proposal and a seconder.
All
in favour of the proposal?
That's the proposal to include one member, one additional member from Sinn Féin, one additional member from the SDLP, one additional member from the DUP, and one additional member from the UUP onto the Planning Steering Group, LDP Steering Group. Is that correct?
Okay. All in favour? Okay. We got that. And all those against? And any abstentions?
One abstention.
Okay. Motion is carried.
And then can we accept then the rest of the minutes?
Can we? Yeah. Pros and
just not. Are you talking? I'm talking about the minutes now.
Yeah.
The short mobility, if there's a report there about its extension in Newcastle. I had asked some time ago for it to be examined for Kilkeel, and I was assured that that would be the case as part of the overall review. I remember Councillor Clark suggesting it at the time. The other thing, the more in foreshore, I see a lot of it was taken in committee, but is it possible to get briefed on that, because it takes in a large part of my ward. The and how it affects the Moore and Shore trustees and the work that they do. And Madam Chair, I was going to ask that I can do it through my DA coordinator, but I think it would be worthwhile for the Moore and Shore councillors to meet the Moore and Shore trustees just to get an update on what they're doing. But I'll leave, if it's confidential, I can get it off to Reno or whatever later.
Okay. Doreena, do you want to come in on some of those items?
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. Councillor, on the shop mobility scheme, the point that you make was actually the point that was made on the night that, and you'll see that it was agreed actually that the shop mobility scheme would go out to tender and be extended across the district. So that's something that we'll actively work on, and that'll go out to public tender. That was a decision of the committee on the night. With regard to the foreshore paper, you're right, Councillor, it was in committee. The paper is available for you to read on MinutePad, and if you have any further questions on it, I can pick those up with you outside.
Okay. Thank you. A proposer and seconder then for the rest of the minutes from the SPNR, Councillor Marnon and Councillor Sharvin. Okay, we're going to move on to item 7, the minutes of the active and healthy communities. There is a slight change on page 7, but we'll come to that after we go through them, if that's okay. Item page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Now, if you don't mind, if Michael would come in here with just the little change to the minutes on page 7.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the change at the top of page 7, it's the item to do with SureStart's South Armagh's request to release of land. The recommendation should read, it was agreed that officers consult with Crerea prior to proceeding to develop a lease in line with council policy. So assuming the councillors are happy with that, that's the only change.
A proposer and seconder for accuracy, Councillor Walker and Councillor McAteer. And have we any matters arising, Councillor Marnon?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. A couple of items. First one on the Down Games Centre. It's a welcome that Down are going to facilitate a centre of excellence in Ballykinler. Some concerns have been raised about the existing council soccer pitch in the village. So I'd just like to get some assurances from the director that there'll be no impact on the soccer pitch or where it is. It'll be duplicated elsewhere. And also to ensure that if there's any duplication of facilities brought about by the new centre that could be used with the community, that the use will be allowed for the whole community. Also, on another item, just on the Christmas tree for Castle Wellen, if you can give us an update of any progress has been made on the provision of a Christmas tree. As Councillor Burns pointed out at the meeting, Castle Wellen is the only major town in the DEA, or Sleep Crew's only DEA, that doesn't have a Christmas tree provided for it in the council area. So if you can give us an update on that. And I'm just on a point too on the Down Rice Hall and the Down community. You know, I think that there's been a cost involved in that whole saga, and for it to drag out for a number of months now, and for them eventually to come back and say they're not interested, you know, maybe we should try to get further commitment from groups before we go down the route of incurring costs to council for them to eventually just have disappeared. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure. I hope I can remember all of those. The first one was the football pitch Ballykinler. I can give an absolute assurance when officers met with Down County Board, the first thing we said to them was that any move to build a facility on the football pitch would require put a requirement on them to assist us to get a replacement for it. We're actively looking for replacement facility in the Ballykinler area, and we would certainly be clear as officers that we would need to accommodate the soccer community. So that's a given, Councillor. In terms of duplication of use, I think the question was around insurance that the community would get to use the facilities. Is that? Yeah. Yes, the Down County Board approached us to say, look, we're building these state-of-the-art facilities. We would like the community to have as much access as possible. So they actually came to us suggesting community use. So I would certainly anticipate that the community will get full access to it. Obviously, we'll be working hard to ensure that there isn't duplication of any facilities in Ballykindler. And as you know, we have alternative proposals on the Kindle, the former Kindle Primary School site. Christmas tree for Castle Weln, this was raised, as the member has said, and I know that the Director of Regulator and Technical Services has been looking at what is possible to provide within the Council's current policies, and I certainly intend to have a conversation with him tomorrow, so we hope to be in a position to update the Council after that, so I'll certainly contact you after that and the other councillors in that BEA. Down Rice Hall, I agree. It's unfortunately, when you enter into these sort of negotiations and legal agreements, until they're signed, we're doing a certain amount at risk. But I'll certainly talk to our legal team about the potential of writing something like that into a policy going forward. So.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Any other matters raised? Henry, are you on now this time?
Yes.
Okay,
Madam Chair, it's just about Ballykindler Camp, and no issues with GEA getting the Centre of Excellence. And I've been advised that it's actually a very small proportion of the actual facility that they want and need. But I would like the County Board and others involved in it to please remember that there are a whole load of sporting bodies, especially the NRA, who are concerned that maybe they could be excluded if accesses and whatever aren't maintained for them. So it would be nice if we could sit around a table someday and just find out exactly what is proposed, the amount of ground involved, and how other interested parties can be facilitated in there. Because there's a UK-wide National Rifle Association, I'm sure you mostly will be aware of that. And Ballykindler is regarded as one of the best ranges anywhere in the British Isles. So it's something that we need to protect also. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Riley. And just come on.
Okay, Chair, if you just want me to quickly deal with that. Chair, as the report said, we will be bringing a detailed report back to the Active and Healthy Communities Committee. In all likelihood this month, and then obviously that report will come through Minipad to all councillors, so we will deal with those issues at that point, but as I understand it, looking at the current proposal, it won't have any impact on the firing range itself. So.
Okay, so can we just have a proposer and seconder then for those minutes and any changes? Okay, Declan and Sean Thorne. Okay, we move on then to item 8, which was the meeting from the RT&S committee held on the 23rd of August. Again, we'll go through them page by page for accuracy and then matters arising. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And we have a proposer and seconder for accuracy.
Councillor
Kern, a seconder for accuracy. Councillor McCauley, have we any matters arising? Councillor Casey?
Thanks, Chair. It's on the very last page. It's under the heading Public Amenity Space near Council Public Toilets at Castle Island, but it's actually a little feature that's been ignored in the front of Moorview Park. I'd hate to get dragged by the neck from, you know, where it is. Public toilets, what would drag me to the public toilets in Castle Island anyway. But the point I'm making is it was an area of waste ground that was developed through a neighbourhood renewal scheme, property of Northern Ireland Housing Executive, and the people of that area, Moorview Park, where I was born and reared, were delighted that something was actually going to be done about this, but it has been allowed to deteriorate and has been virtually ignored by Transport NI, who have since adopted the piece of ground. Now, I had asked that maybe it would be put on a council schedule or some suggestion along those lines, but Mr. Scullion advised that, you know, maybe we'll put undue pressure on our maintenance team, and I don't want that to happen. But tailed on to the end of it, I proposed that our officers meet with Transport NI to investigate, and the point I'm making is that after these minutes are ratified, that happens at the earliest opportunities. I don't want any other suggestions that I've made disappearing into the charge workroom, never to be heard of again. So I'd like that to be action ASAP after these minutes are ratified. Thank you very much, Chair.
It will, Chairman, and it'll be kept in the action sheet to that point.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor. We now move on to item 9, which is to consider the draft consultation response from the Council to the stroke services. Liam, you're going to take this?
Yes, Chairman, the response is there to be submitted. What happened was that we had two groups, one within the Southern Trust area and one the Southeastern Trust area, who come together to put together points. Our officers now have brought these together to have a comprehensive corporate response, but I'm happy to take any points or any changes, Chairman.
Okay. Councillor Burns.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks for the correction. I was at the consultation with this great presentation beforehand and the consultation afterwards. But I suppose there's a number of points that I'd like to see included on this. And we look at the success rate of Daisy Hill, and especially, you know, people that present or patients that present within an hour of presenting at Daisy Hill Hospital. I think the figure was 86% receiving thrombolysis in the first hour, which compared to some hospitals across the north, there's one as low as 11%, and that is included in it. But we had a lot of discussion when it came to the hyperacute units, and the number of hyperacute units is probably going to be established on the back of this consultation, possibly 3 and a maximum of 4 if we're looking at the figures that was given to us. I think we should be making an argument for Daisy Hill to have a hyperacute unit, at the very least to retain acute services, hospital units, or stroke units, sorry, at Daisy Hill. But I think there's a push for Daisy Hill to have a hyperacute unit. The argument was made by the Down Hospital Group at that consultation. The argument was also made by the Daisy Hill Hospital Group at the consultation. And we talked about the users from Loud and North Down, or Loud and North Monaghan, sorry, so coming across the border and where the hospital is located. Expertise in the hospital as well. And I know geography is going to come into this, and we looked there at the amount of the percentage of people in Erie Moran Down is 30 minutes away from Daisy Hill. I do think that we should be putting in the consultation for Daisy Hill to be a hyperacute unit and adding on the fact that you own the geography with the south of Ireland. So if we could have that included on section 4, but we fed everything in the consultation that we wanted as a party in the report, and I think I'm safe enough getting a lecture from the chair in this one because our party wasn't present at it.
Chairman, if members are happy enough to propose a second, I'd include that comments into it, Chairman.
Yeah, absolutely. Can we have a proposer? Sorry, Councillor Clark.
Chair, just as a day, Chair, at the meeting. So I'm finding it strange that nobody from the party was early.
And to come back on that, you chaired the presentation before and left, and the consultation was next to ours.
Yeah.
I chaired the consultation.
I chaired
the presentation.
Sorry, hang on a minute. All political parties have, we're taking a proposer and a seconder here. All political parties have collectively and individually met the trust on numerous occasions.
Absolutely.
Regarding, I'm not interested in any other
parties. I made that point as a correction.
Only the meetings of this council chamber.
Yeah. And if we're playing on behalf of this council, we're playing as a council. And if you do not want to stick in that reply as a council, then you can say that.
Councillor, would you please turn your light out? Councillor Clark wants to make a comment. Would you like to make
I'm not getting up, you know, into who's chaired what part of the meeting or the session. Mm-hmm. It was Dr. Farrell's presentation,
mm-hmm.
And followed by questions from all the health forums and indeed the members present. It lasted well over 2 hours, that particular part of the meeting. So I'm just outlining that I was there, and then I had to go to another engagement. Just in regards to the discussions that took place, it was felt that the proposal was a very urban-based proposal, and it has been picked up in the responses. It's based for inner cities where there's a good access, good road infrastructure, and I think that was key even for people who was at the Down health group meeting the other night, where they were also saying it was about ambulance cover. That was the key, the critical thing for rural areas to get across. And also in regards to the road infrastructure in particular. And there was a representative there at the meeting, at the Down meeting, in regard from Scotland, and they talked about the islands of Scotland, how they facilitate medical treatment for people. And they talked a lot about our ambulance, you know, that there should be a greater increase in our ambulance. And I agree entirely. Speed is of the essence in regards to people who take a stroke. And at times, it's an alphabet based the way we deal with many of the issues. It's the infrastructure should be put in place first, and then you should look at where you put your services. And it's been outlined many times before, particularly in the Down area, you know, and the rural areas of either the Mourns, as far as Cuckoo, to get to these centres of excellence. And I'm not disagreeing, you know, that you do bring the centres of excellence together. It's about how do you get people in rural communities to their centres of excellence. That is the crux of the matter. And Dr. Farrell, indeed, is from Restrever, and said that she did understand what it was like to live in a rural area. So hopefully she does bring that, you know, into the discussions with the health department.
Okay. Thank you very much, Councillor Clark. We will get those points added in to the document, Liam. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Councillor Burns.
Opposed.
And second.
I'd just like to make a small point in the statement that you made in the chair. I fully agree, and I'm not. It's not an attack on Willie, and Willie was there for the presentation at the meeting. This is not a tit for tat back here. This is simply talking about. It's not. And we can laugh across the room on a health issue, but we're very, very good at talking about two sides of a mouth here. If there's a consultation on, and if parties don't want to feed into the consultation that happened after the presentation, that's up to them.
Councillor Burns, as you yourself pointed out, all parties were able to make representation to the consultation. You don't know what anybody else has done.
No, I made that point.
So your point is taken, and we're moving on. Your points will be added into the document, and we're moving on.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And if your party wants to feed into this consultation on behalf of
We now move on to the minutes of the meeting with the health forums is for noting. Also, item 10 is to consider arrangements for the council cooperative response to the public consultation on health service savings in both the Southern and South Eastern Trust and Social Care. This is a verbal report.
Yeah, yes, Chairman, I think I've picked it up at the end of the recommendation, which was posted second and agreed regarding coming out of the SPNR. Conscious that we won't have these in place, so what we'll be doing is organising two workshops. Actually, Mark will be in contact with the various groupings again within the Southern and South East regarding the specific proposals from each of the trusts to put together the council response for tabling at next month's council meeting.
Okay.
So it's just to say, why are we not implementing new arrangements? That's the reason why we wouldn't have time to do it.
Okay. Now, the following items are for noting. Item 11 is the report on the Daisy Hill Hospital Pathfinder Community Forum, the meeting of which is tomorrow night. Item 12, the Audit Committee Annual Report 2016 and 17. And item 13, correspondence from the Boundary Commission for Northern Ireland, copy attached. Those items are all for noting and nobody's indicating, so that's okay. We will then move on to the notice of motion. Councillor Craig.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I will support the rescinding of the original planning committee decision here because more information has become available with regard to this application, and I believe it's right that a full discussion should take place and all the reasons associated with the committee decision are fully documented, and therefore, Chair, I'm happy to support this motion.
Okay, would you propose, can we have a seconder for the motion? Councillor Loughran, and is everybody in agreement? Is anybody against the motion? No, everybody's in agreement. Okay, thank you very much, councillors, and our meeting has come to a close. Thank you.